Let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
For mercy.
In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness.
Enter not into judgment with your servant,
for no one living is righteous before you.
I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done.
I ponder the work of your hands.
I stretch out my hands to you.
My soul thirsts for you like a parched land.
Teach me to do your will, for you are my God.
Let your good spirit lead me on level ground.
For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life.
In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Dispel from us the works of darkness and grant us to live in the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, that our faith may never be found wanting. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading from the 24th Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of the prophet Zephaniah, the first chapter. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared his sacrifice and consecrated his guests. And on that day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons and all who array themselves in foreign attire. On that day, I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold, and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the traitors are no more. All who weigh out silver are cut off. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps. I will punish the men who are complacent. For those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their goods shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near. The mighty men cry aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry, against the fortified cities, against the lofty battlements. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us.
Yes, establish the work of our hands.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place
in all generations.
Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world,
from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
You returned man to dust,
and say, return, O children of man.
For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past.
For as watched in the night,
you sweep them away as with a flood.
They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning.
In the morning it flourishes and is renewed.
In the evening it fades and withers.
For we are brought to an end by your anger.
By your wrath we are dismayed.
You have set our iniquities before you,
our secret sins in the light.
For all our days pass away under your wrath.
We bring our years to an end like a sigh.
The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80.
Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away.
Who considers the power of your anger?
And your wrath.
So teach us to number our days,
that we may be at our hearts of wisdom. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning. is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us.
Yes, establish the work of our hands.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica, the 5th chapter. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need of anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, while people are saying, there is peace and security. Then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
According to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "It will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed, and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text is from the Gospel lesson, Matthew, the 25th chapter, in particular, verse 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." The word talent has a meaning here that we're not entirely used to. It's a weight, a measure of weight of precious metals, or what we think of as wealth. So it would be really easy to think of today's gospel lesson and leap to the conclusion that God expects us to produce, to leverage what we have to become successful. And that success, by implication, money has importance in our lives. The problem is that's not consistent with what else we know about Scripture. Remember how Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven." Or how he told the rich man, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." And when he told Moses and to warn the people, "Beware, lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth,' you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." No, this is not about money or honing your skills to get more of the stuff. It is about being a good and faithful servant, taking the things that God has given us and living out our vocation as his children. Paul wrote, "But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of God's gifts, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." We are his children, imitating our Father. And as in all families, the kids are all different. Some are loud and boisterous. Some are quiet and thoughtful. All are loved. We are all his servants, obeying our master. And as in every household, we all have different responsibilities. Some are highly visible, and some do the necessary work quietly in the background. All are loved. Some will be called to more visible things than others. Martin Luther is an example. He had a difficult and certainly important task in stirring up things and restoring the church. What he did more valuable in the eyes of God than raking leaves at church on workday? Was it as difficult as loving our neighbor as ourselves? What does the parable say about each of us living and working in our place? There are three levels of involvement here. The master gave different amounts: 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent to his servants. But there were only 2 outcomes, 1 positive, 1 negative. It is because there are only 2 responses to God. I think it's easiest to understand the good outcome by looking at the other side first. At the servant who was given 1 talent, he took the money and, to use a modern idiom, hid it in his mattress. Why? I think the current term is trust issues. What did he think of himself? What did he think of his master? We live in a world where most people think that God is optional, that we humans are just another part of nature, just the result of a series of evolutionary accidents. So, what do we do what we are really doesn't matter that much. That's not true. We are created in God's image to be His children. We are the work of His hand and the object of His affection. People understood that better 2,000 years ago. Everyone believed that there was a God, or maybe multiple gods, but they were sure that those gods were pulling the strings of everyday life. And you had better behave yourself, or else. The unfaithful servant in this parable was thinking that way. It was burned into his conscience. He was terrified. Perhaps he had looked inside himself enough that he understood what his heart was like, how dark it was. Perhaps he thought his master's heart was that way too, empty and maybe a little vengeful. Luther understood the experience of a terrified conscience. As he studied God's word, he began to understand the depth of his sin and how utterly consistent he was when it came to keeping God's law, always failing. Luther knew his own efforts weren't enough, never would be enough. But as he continued to discover God's word, he saw something else. God's law is more than a set of harsh rules. It is the path of life. But God's law is fulfilled not in what we do on our own, but on God Himself, in what Christ Jesus did for us. There is no salvation without satisfying the demands of the law. That's done now. It was accomplished on the cross. But the unfaithful servant turned his back on what Jesus does to save us. He saw God as a hard man, and while it is true that our God is a just God who punishes the wicked, it is also true that He is a God of mercy. He has declared, "Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And I will pour water on the thirsty land, and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring, and my blessing on your descendants." The unfaithful servant didn't see the things that God offered him in His mercy that was poured out in tenderness. But then, we should understand the unfaithful servant pretty well. We were once like that. The faithful in the servant in the parables were once just like the unfaithful servant too. Dry ground waiting for something, not even knowing what it was. No, we didn't know who holds our salvation. We didn't know that our salvation had been in relentless motion since God confronted Adam and Eve in the garden. We didn't know the cost of that salvation either. And thankfully, we will never know it completely. For as far from the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. The faithful servants have been invited to enjoy. Enter into the joy of your Master, where we rest in Him. Our Master gives us faith. He pours grace out on us like streams on dry ground in the gift of faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Even our faithfulness springs from our Father's hand, from the work of Jesus in His life, death, and resurrection, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this is not our own doing. It is the gift of God. The gift of God, the property He entrusted to us, is faith. Faith, fed by the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, grows. The second letter to the Church of Thessalonica begins, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly." and the love of every one of you for another is increasing. Faith grows, or faith dies. It grows not just by taking in God's word, but also in acting in that word, living out the law. For the expression of faith is to walk in the law not as slaves, but loving God and loving each other, having a clean heart that our Father put in us to worship Him and to care for the ones He loves. Then we will hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your Master." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Almighty God, everlasting Father, you are worthy of being praised for all your gifts and graces which you have given to us, your unworthy people. Hear us this day as we cry to you for mercy for all people as they have need. You have made us your people and preserved us through the ministry of your word and sacraments. Continue to pour out upon us grace upon grace, that we may be kept in faith and be guarded in hope. Make your church throughout the world one in doctrine, confession, and life, and give to your church faithful pastors who will preach and teach your word with conviction. Deliver us from confusion and error by the power of your Holy Spirit, and raise up those who will continue to serve in faithfulness and humility. Deliver all enemies of your church and convert their hearts to repentance and faith. Strengthen all Christians in their faith and in their vocation of service as your children, that we may be obedient to your word and receive the salvation of our souls. Deliver the nations from oppression and ungodly rulers and governments. Bless all in authority within our own nation, that righteousness may flourish and injustice may end. Bless all those places where your people teach and learn, that our children may honor you, walk in your commands, and show forth in their lives the fruits of the Spirit. Prevent all disaster and calamity. Deliver us from war and violence, and spare us from pestilence. Help us to know and rejoice in the good fruits of the earth. Bless all noble occupations, and help the arts to flourish, that our lives may be enriched by beauty. Help us to receive with thanksgiving the fruits of the earth you supply for our common good. Receive with our song of praise and sacrifice of thanksgiving the tithes and offerings we bring, that through good use of the skills, talents, and time you have given us, you may be glorified in all we are and do. Give unity to your people, that we may not be divided in doctrine or witness, and grant us grace, that we may come to the Lord's table and receive there the body and blood of our Lord Jesus in sincere repentance and faith. Give to the sick healing, to the suffering relief, to the grieving hope, and to the dying peace. Hear us on behalf of those who have requested our prayers, especially Luann, Roberta, Gina, and the family of Alice Bailey, Sergio, the father of Vickers' classmate Peter, Keith and Liz and their stepdaughter, Gino's family, and for Mary Simeone. Also for our homebound Karen and Andrea, and those in our ongoing prayers, Bud, Phyllis, Barbara, Alicia, Jeannie, and Greg. Sustain them and us in the day of trial. Deliver us from all our enemies of body and soul, and keep us steadfast in the day of trouble. Receive our thanksgiving for seeing Judy Greenlee's through her time of physical misery and into a time of renewed hope. Watch over all expectant mothers and the children in their wombs, especially Kelsey, Stephanie, Rachel, Abby, Laura, and Nika. Remembering that here we have no abiding city, but heaven is our home, give us your aid so that we may be by true faith and godly life prepare for the coming of our Savior, doing the works you have called us to do and accomplishing your purpose in our daily lives. Help us to multiply your mercy by loving our neighbor in need and loving you with all our body, soul, strength, and will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body of Christ given unto death.
Body of our Lord Jesus Christ given unto death for you. Take, drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Depart in peace. Take, eat the body of Christ given unto death for you. Take, drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless be the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.